You ready to begin? Sounds like you might be. Cue the orchestra!
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
I know what you're thinking. Sloppy board work. Because there's always music there, right?
Right.
The Hateful Thought music.
Correct.
We will address that in a moment, but first, an apology.
Yes.
It's been a while. By the way, hi, Katie. My name is Rob.
Hi, Rob. My name is Katie.
Yes, we used to work together many months ago on a on a show called Cake and Cookies. No, what? it has been a while since we've posted a show. And first of all, I want to express appreciation to everyone that needled us and poked us and said, hey, we want a show, because it makes me feel really, really good that you guys are out there still wanting to listen to this nonsense.
Well, and for the record, there was never any doubt that we would continue with the show.
Exactly.
But kind of life got in the way.
It is a thing called priorities. We both went through some stuff. I one thing I will mention is, you know, Carrie's father passed and we had some stuff to deal with that. Summertime is always busy. There was a couple little breaks in there. Katie had some stuff going on, nothing worthy of mention and nothing disastrous, certainly. But
well, and my mom came and stayed with me for about a month. She retired.
Retired from staying with you?
No, she retired from teaching.
And then she came to visit.
She did. And we had a great time talking about how she's not allowed to rearrange my furniture.
I thought she did a lot of painting.
She did.
Yeah.
She took it upon herself to... Well, we can go into it later.
Okay.
The fact is, I didn't feel right having to work all day and then do a show in the evening with my mom here, you know, just kind of
especially
hanging out.
And also I'll pull this curtain back because you're a little too kind to. Your mom was trying to muscle her way onto the show.
Oh my God, she 100%. There was one time you and I actually did try to record.
We sat down and linked on Skype.
Yes, and I typed to you, I can't do this. She's standing outside the door.
We are not at the point of Cake and Cookies where we need a Cousin Oliver. We don't need to add a cast member to increase interest.
Can I come in? Can I be on your show?
I do voices. Can I come in and paint your show?
No.
So yeah, it was awkward. And as I said, you know, priorities. And not to say this show isn't a priority, and not to say that you wonderful people that are listening are not priorities. You are, and we love most of you. But it just took us a while to get our ducks in a row.
I see what you said there.
That's right. There's a couple out there. But anyway, so there's that, and we're back, and we hope to get back on a more regular schedule, especially now that the fall is rolling around. I will say this, honest to God, hand on my heart, I missed doing it. It's tough to coordinate.
Oh, for sure. I think the summertime is harder because, I mean, I went on a couple trips as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, Julia got a job. They
were
shuttling her back and forth.
Back and forth.
I mean, there's just, linking up was much harder.
When they said summertime and the living is easy. Well, I take exception to that, Mr. Gershwin.
So to that end...
Yes, let's move on to topic two.
Okay.
Where's your hateful thought, Katie?
I have decided, and you and I talked about this like even a month or two ago.
It was actually in response to a particular sad news event, but it was also a cumulative effect.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely cumulative. But after the Orlando tragedy,
the shooting in the nightclub,
it doesn't feel right to do a hateful thought, even if that hate is satirical. I'm not retiring it completely.
It's hiatus. It's on hiatus.
It's on hiatus. But right now, with all the hate and vitriol that's out there in the world, it just doesn't feel right.
I feel you. I understand, and I back you. And remember, hear what she said. That doesn't mean that there will not be a hateful thought in the future. When they are deemed necessary and appropriate, they may and shall return. So there is that. We have plenty of good stuff to talk about without the hateful thoughts. We've always tried to make this be a happy place, a place of laughter, and we will dip back to the way things are when and if it becomes possible and necessary. So there's that. Now, that said, we want to start the show with something a little more positive than a hateful thought. And this also sets me up for my number one topic. Ladies and gentlemen, the music of the Beatles. We're back in 2 minutes and change. Please enjoy this positive message. I am Cake.
And I am Cookie.
And these are the Beatles.
To lead a better life, I need my love to be here.
What's that?
The mixing.
It's pretty
all
great.
The layers.
It's great.
It's
I have something to tell you about it that will thrill and delight you, as a matter of fact.
I am going to have to holler at Presley eventually. I'm sorry that she's being so disruptive.
Well, you know what's happened is she's lost her training because we haven't done the show in 2 months. I've forgotten how to run board. You've forgotten how to do hateful thoughts, and she's forgotten how to be quiet. The only one who still knows what he's doing, Dude Walker.
Cake and cookies. Rob and Katie. It's the Rob and Katie Show.
Hey, I got dust all over me digging that tape out.
Thank God you have it saved somewhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is the return of Cake and Cookies. Cake and Cookies 2.0.
No,
it's just the show. Welcome, everybody. Good to be back. I'm Rob Spiewak.
And I'm Katie Von Erman.
I feel as if we must introduce ourselves.
You have no idea what to do right now.
It is really, really, it's foreign to me.
The Cake. Your show sheet?
It's up here, baby.
No, it's not.
You're right, it's not. Anyway, it is the Cake and Cookies podcast, a semi-weekly podcast to show you that your life isn't that bad in comparison. I want to say thank you to Mike O'Mara. I want to say thank you to Oscar Santana, Tony Ponyboy Bloom, and everyone in More Broadcasting who has stood by. And how many times have I told Pony over the past 2 months, I think we're going to record tonight. So if I get you a show, please make sure to post it. And he goes, sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, you bet. So anyway, yeah, we are back. And the burning topic for me is not my sunburn. And you don't have a sunburn story, but you have a heat stroke story.
Did I tell you about that?
How wasted were you last night?
This was last night?
Yeah, we'd had a pretty long segment. Just for, sometimes Katie and I call and we do a radio show for each other. And we did a very lengthy phone call last night.
I told you I had a bad day.
Yes, you did. Which surprised me because you sound remarkably good when we spoke. So obviously you had lubed up and called your old buddy Rob. I had a hunch that you might have had an ounce or two because...
Just like put the phone down and
I hang on every word. But
well, I went back to the beach with the neighborhood ladies.
It was your second trip to the beach with them. Mm-hmm. And what I knew that it was going to be a good call because I got a text that said, "Can I call you home or mobile?" Just one sentence.
It's not really a question there.
No, you were dialing and ready to go. So, but before we get to that, and I had my own issues with the heat, I do want to discuss this. Bum, bum, bum! My trip to the Paul McCartney concert that I went to a couple weeks ago.
Can you actually hold that in front of the camera?
It was off to the side. I wanted you to see my face.
That's awesome. Did he sign that?
He did not. I was in the
tour. I was like, what?
It's a facsimile of his signature on the program. It's a great program, and I'll tell you why. Because it comes with Paul stickers and Paul coloring pages.
Okay. So it's for a child. Oh, my God.
It really does. Yeah. See? Yeah. It's nice. Full of lovely pictures and great writing. I actually read the thing cover to cover.
Is that the program, or did you...
No, this is the program. I had to purchase it. It's I believe it was, I'm trying to think, with the t-shirts, the program itself was $700.
I was going to say something around 6,000.
No, it was about 30 bucks, but keep in mind the stickers are free with the purchase. So you're okay. I took Julia.
Presley, get it together.
Did Presley have a bad day?
She is kind of having a bad day.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, fingers crossed for her. Maybe she'll call me later.
She's really worked up.
She broke her bowl.
She did.
She has a regular, bowl. Lovely, almost like a dinnerware bowl. It wouldn't be porcelain. Is it porcelain?
It was ceramic.
Ceramic. That's what I'm looking for.
But yes, I bought some very lovely little ceramic dog dishes at Home Goods. I bought three. One for Judd, one for Presley, one for Water.
I thought one for Dan.
No, he started eating at the table again. So.
Good boy. Well, that'll keep him from begging.
Well, Presley spun her very pretty bowl right down the stairs.
We've discussed in the past that when she's ready to eat, she starts calling attention to herself.
Yes.
And throwing plates. I mean, that's like not really what a dog does. That's more like a poltergeist.
Yes. So she has now been downgraded to a metal doggy bowl. But she understands that the ceramic one makes more noise, so she just bangs on Judd's.
Did she try to make noise with the metal one for a while?
Yeah.
And it just no go?
No. And then when she gets real upset about she thinks it's time to be fed, she starts banging on it's probably 3 feet tall, dog...
The dog food bin, sure.
She starts banging on that.
With her, how does she bang on it?
She picks up both of her paws and pushes on it.
Okay, so she doesn't like use her face or her.
Her ears.
Silly me. No, I was in a much more Warner Brothers cartoon image of her doing it with her tail. Oh. And maybe her tail is holding like a bass drum mallet.
Right.
That's what I was envisioning. But that's not the case. Well, so if we hear noises, it just means she's hungry. And we're recording rather early. It's not supper time yet.
No, she usually gets in the evening. She starts around 4:30, but she doesn't get fed until 5:30, 6 o'clock.
She wants to make her intentions known.
And that's why we just tell her it's not time.
Not time yet. No.
Not time.
Well, Linus has had a hell of a time.
You had like four dogs at your house.
Yeah, and he hates them all. He really does. He does okay with the old one, Haley.
Dad, can I just be an only dog again?
I want to be an only dog. I don't want these other dogs. And he gets nervous. He gets nervous and worked up. And what happens is there are dog alliances.
I thought you were going to say Olympics.
And Mom, he held a gun to my head and he cocked it.
No.
It's Ryan Doherty.
No.
Lying dog. Let sleeping dogs lie. That's what I say. And lying
Don't
is never
let
good.
Lying dogs sleep.
So, exactly. Thank you. It needed to be said. So, the dog alliances are such that the littlest dog called Murphy. Now, Murphy would fit perfectly in a sub role. That's how little this puppy is. He's getting bigger, but he's still sub role. So you're going to scream when I tell you.
Is he a beagle?
He's half beagle, half black lab.
Oh, Murphy! Oh!
I told you. He got the big ears. He's still got a pink belly. He has beautiful beagle markings and huge ears, but he's leggy. And like because of the lab, and also he's a water dog because he's a lab. So when he drinks water, we've got, you know, Linus's dish is a little too big for him. It's probably like a 10-inch water dish, metal. When Murphy comes over, he stands in the dish to drink.
So Murphy.
His paws are in there, his ears are in there, and he's going pat him, pat him, pat him, pat him, pat him. And then sometimes he just gets bored, and he walks over. And kicks the water out. He just plays in the water. And
you
I know.
You need to get him a little baby pool. Just put it out in the back.
Don't. No. What we need is to not have him over here. This is.
Don't let anyone hear you.
What you suggested was a Band-Aid. I'm calling for surgery. We need to stop hosting dogs. But anyway, I've been through this before, but let me say this.
Okay, so I know Linus sleeps with you and Carrie. Has there ever been more than just you, Carrie, and Linus in the bed?
I will say this.
The man who can't say no.
The black lab puppy, Sydney, has attempted to join us.
Oh, did Linus not let?
Well, no, none of us let because there's no room. I mean, I know we love our dog, but this is that's a no-go. So
once in a while, Judd or Presley, they've both done this to each other, won't let the other one get into the bed.
You see, if we got to that point, Linus would play that card. But there were days last week when we had in the house Linus, Kaylee, who is a mostly pit bull mix, but older and stocky has that old cranky dog way about her. She lives in the same house as the beagle, Murphy, who fits in the sub role.
Okay, then, so Murphy and Kaylee are
brother and sister, essentially. And then there's Sydney, the wild card. Sydney is the black lab that we started dog sitting when she was 9 weeks old.
Right. Carrie sent me pictures.
And now she's bigger than Linus. So there are four energetic, sizey dogs, and there are dog alliances, and this is what's best is when
who's aligned with who. This is like
when there are
like a reality show.
It is. It's like Survivor. There are four dogs.
I'm just trying to survive.
That's what it is. There are four dogs. Linus's alliances are with me and Carrie, and mostly Carrie, but I think he knows that Carrie's responsible because of care.com for bringing the other dogs in. So he looks at me a lot like, come on, help. This isn't right. His ears go down into their most
fall down.
His ears go down into the most serious pose. So he's looking at me now, of course, because they're brother and sister, Murphy and Kaylee are allianced. Is that a word? They are in an alliance. So because the little dog, Murphy, has teeth that are like supersonic Russian sharpened needles, he will run the length of the room, jump, and like get on Linus and start biting his ears. And then Linus puts up with it for about 6 seconds. And then he does the thing where he almost does like a rabbit nose. Where
he starts he shows his teeth.
Yeah, but it's because his nose goes up, and then we get arr, and then after about 15 seconds, you get rrr, 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 to which Murphy replies, rrr, 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 And then Kaylee, allied with Murphy, goes, roo, 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 roo. And then Sydney is like, I'm not missing any of this. So Sydney runs in, stops, and slides a third of the length of the house because she's just all legs and nails. And she slides in. She's sliding and barking at them. So that it's like the world's worst barbershop quartet because there's four distinct pitches of bark, and they're all barking at the same time. Some of them just because other dogs are barking. So I don't know how we got here.
I don't know what's going on, but I gotta be.
I gotta get in there and bark and slide, and then quick go splash in the water bowl, Murphy. But so, that's not why I brought you here.
Of the human children.
Yes, Julia and Robert.
Which one has the least fun with all the dogs?
It might be tied. I think. Oh. There are different things. Robert gets saddled with assisting with walks, which he doesn't like, but they both like the needle-toothed puppy because he is very, very cute. And if you hold him by the collar, like under his collar, then
like under his chin?
Yeah, because then you're not choking him because it's being pulled not too tight, but against the back. So it's not against his throat, so he's not gagging or anything, but he's still doing his head in a figure eight. Because he wants to bite you. And it's just because, and listen, I don't think their owners listen to this show, so I'm going to say this quietly. There seems to be a lack of training. And we only have them a few afternoons a week, and I can't train them. But when the dog is splashing in the water, I mean like a mental patient, and I go, Murphy, no, Murphy, no, no, Murphy, no. And they don't even bat an eye. At 12 weeks, a dog should know its name. I'm not asking for it.
12 weeks old?
I think. I don't know. It doesn't matter. But it's... I'm not asking it to be Lassie. I don't want it to be Benji. I don't expect it to land on the Letterman show. I just want it to recognize its name.
Okay.
So what I end up having to do is... And I feel like some sort of elder German woman in an orphanage. Because...
You're running like a puppy daycare.
Yeah, exactly. So I don't like it. But I still love my dog, Linus. And you know what? Of all of us that have had to put up with crap, he's put up with the most.
Aww.
Because this is his house.
Oh, yeah.
He is our alpha pup. He has never, ever been challenged in any sort of way. And you know what? I think...
He probably ranks higher than Robert and Julia for you guys, right?
Well, I'm not going to rank them. I will say that there is...
Oh, you're not going to do the Dan
of one
number
of,
three?
Of one of them... There is someone in the middle. I'm not going to reveal the rankings yet. But and I will say this about Linus. He spent recently 4 nights at my mom's house with her dog Lulu, who is, by the way, pound for pound the same size as Linus, but mostly black lab, and they got along famously. I mean beautifully, to a point where my mom said, you can bring him here anytime. And Linus said, the next time we have those other three dogs over, I'm coming back.
I'm not joking, man.
This is a serious thing. So anyway.
Where's Lulu?
I want my Lulu. Oh, no. Here comes Needle Teeth. But they all bark at the same time. So. That said, I don't know exactly how we got there, but Julia, who is also among the pet population of this house, and I went and saw Paul McCartney on, I have the date here, August 10th at the Verizon Center. It was
Go
ahead.
I love you took Julia to this one.
There was a reason behind that. I heard that.
You what? Can I go handle this situation?
You know what? I like it. It's ambient noise.
Okay, sure.
And where's Mike
Hector? Dad ran in here and is hiding from her.
Where is Mike Heck during all this? Why isn't Dan fixing it?
He had to go mail something and then go stop by CVS or something.
Is he
going to
buy cheese?
Oh my God, I've got to text him.
Why?
I didn't tell him to buy cheese.
He'll know. He'll know. So yeah. When you can we be quiet a second and see if we can hear that? Let's just everyone quiet. Listen.
I think she knows we're listening.
What a jerk. All right, let's move forward. The reason I took Julia to see Paul is that this was my fifth visit, my fifth evening with Mr. McCartney. But Robert had seen him, Carrie had seen him twice, and I wanted to make sure when all was said and done.
That little bitch.
Actually, yes. When all was said and done, I wanted to make sure that all of my kids, all of my immediate family, had seen a Beatle.
He ain't getting any younger.
No, and, you know, Julia goes to 8 zillion concerts, and I hope that 50 years from now, she looks back and said, you know, I did see Fall Out Boy 200 times, but I did see Paul that once, and it was pretty cool. And there was a couple moments leading up to it that were really neat for me, like when we were hanging out. For some reason on my iPod, Eleanor Rigby came on, random, just total random. And she said, mm-hmm. I hope he sings that. I like that song. And, you know,
oh, I love that.
And your heart swells big like the Grinch at the end of the special. Not enlarged, but, you know, with love. Because you realize that even though you try not to force it on them, that being surrounded by this kind of music as they've grown, some of it has seeped in. So she is great to go to a concert with. She is patient. She does lines really well because, mm-hmm. you know, she's...
You've got a lot of practice.
There are times when she like goes and waits out in line for 8 hours to get, you know, a good spot in the pit. So mm-hmm. waiting for 40 minutes to get into the Verizon Center while Paul is doing his sound check, which, by the way, you could hear a little bit of, which was awesome. She's very positive, very, very into it. It was fun. We went down. It's the Verizon Center is in the middle of Washington, D.C. I know we have listeners everywhere, so I'll explain. And right by Chinatown, and the subway, the metro stop is Gallery Place. And so when you get out, you're almost like in a shopping mall. So we went to a place called Bar Louie to get...
Oh, I like Bar Louie.
Yeah, get some tater tots and a drink. And guess who they sit next to is Johnny Cakes Auville.
What?
Yes. Of the Sports Junkies. And it was sort of an awkward-ish moment because his back was to me and I didn't see him because it was his back. I didn't recognize him. And mm-hmm. facing me is his wife, Amy, who is the best. She's awesome. And she's making eye contact with me, but I haven't seen her since maybe a WJFK Christmas party, which means 8 years.
2008.
Yeah, long time ago. And so she's making eye contact with me a little bit, like, you know, a little nervous. And I'm thinking, I kind of recognize her. It must be someone from Facebook because I know, stupid.
But it has been at least 8 years. Yeah. You're right.
So eventually she says, Rob? And I said, yes. And then Cakes turns around and everything falls into place. Now, so Cakes is John Auville, who is the morning show host on WJFK, where he used to work. But we've known him for, I hate to admit it, like 20 years, right?
Yeah.
So he is the nicest guy in broadcasting. We have a lovely talk. And this was so funny because when you pull in there, automatically at this event center, the Verizon Center, it's event parking. So prices are astronomical. Yes. And to park, just to bring one car in. And so I said to Cakes, I said, so you here for the show? Meaning, you know, it's Paul McCartney. Because the bar is slammed. They're playing Beatles music. Most everyone there is getting ready to go see Paul McCartney. He says, no. I said, why are you here? He says, had to do a screening for an interview for the show. I had to pay $40 to park for a free movie.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
And I said, are you bitter? He said, a little bit salty.
Yeah. Bit bitter.
So anyway, it was really great to see him. I don't have a lot of friends in the radio biz anymore. So it was really nice to see him. And
he really is one of the nicest people on the planet.
He really is. So that was a good start to a great evening. We get in, we get to our seats, and it is a really neat setup. It's, you know, a standard... Verizon Center is a standard, like, 20,000-seat auditorium, like you would see a venue, like you'd see a basketball or a hockey game at. And I think most cities have them like this. And they block off one end.
Both the Wizards and the Capitals.
The Caps play there. And
and the Mystics?
Oh, the Lady Mystics.
Are they? Is that the?
I think so. I don't know.
I'm a horrible woman.
I just have to read my jersey. The name's on
it.
Shut it. Shut it.
You took it too far.
Zip it.
Zip it.
So on either side of the stage is one end of the auditorium or the venue. They have two round screens that are sort of like, well, semicircular. Yeah. No. They're almost like. Now I'm going to sound really stupid, but imagine if you would projecting things onto a white Quaker Oats box.
Oh, okay.
So I guess they're convex screens.
Okay.
And they, but because, cylindrical.
Cylindrical.
And because. I'm
making gestures with my hands.
You are the queen of the podcast. So with that, the screens don't actually turn. But the projections turn. So it gives a neat 3D effect, and they're doing lots of like Beatley pictures and stuff like that. And then it gets to be 8 o'clock when that's supposed to start, but it really starts at 8:20 because, Washington, D.C., the traffic was horrible. Getting into the city, I was coming in, of course, from Bethesda, and the traffic was insufferable. But I'd been sitting there the whole time, and I'm ready to go. And the auditorium goes dark, just jet black, and then spotlight hits Paul and he walks out. And it is, you never get over the fact that that's the guy. That's the guy that's
Sir Paul McCartney.
For over half a century, that's the guy. That's the same guy.
Yeah.
And I did a great job of going like Facebook and media dark for a week out. So I didn't know anything that was going to happen during the show. I didn't know any songs. I didn't know his opening number. I had seen him 3 years ago, and I imagine the set list would be similar. But people kept sending me, like, when he played Cleveland, Rob, caught this video of Paul, thought you'd like it. And I'm like, delete.
Stop.
The last time I went and saw him, it was a total abject failure because the one song I wanted him to do when I took Robert 3 years ago was All My Lovin', Robert's favorite Beatles song. I didn't know if he was going to do it or not, and I wanted to be excited if it happened. When we sat down to our seats, and these were pretty remarkable seats, some fat cow comes up and says, "Can you help with something?" I said, "What would you like?" She said, "I have a bunch of signs. Can you help me? Can you hold this sign up right after Paul sings All My Loving? He's been doing it third." And I said, not only am I not going to help you, but I'm going to excuse myself from your company right now.
Oh, my God. I might have to bring the hateful thought back just for that. Spoilers!
I dealt with the same thing with a guy at Stevie Wonder when I said he had seen the show in Richmond. And I said, "Well, that's really great. Please don't tell me." I just couldn't believe the encore. I said, "That's terrific. I really don't want to hear anything." He said, "It was so unexpected." I said, "It must have been. I'd really like it to be unexpected for me, too. Right now." He said, "Part-time lover?" I said, "Shut up!" So I was able to escape all of that. And I have put together a montage of the set list. Now, these are not the actual recordings from the concert. These are the studio recordings of the songs in the order.
If you're going to show me the set list, just show me the set list. I don't want to see a montage of the set list.
No. It's audio. Yes.
The audio.
Okay, I'm going to hold up a sign and it says, "Look, hey, Jude." Good, right?
This isn't going to work the way you think it's going to.
I know I'm going triple fanboy on you. I'll try to keep this brief from here on out. But not unlike when we discussed the Stevie Wonder concert, he didn't come out to major fanfare. He just came out. And I'm thinking, what song is he going to do?
He didn't need a helper, though.
He did not need a helper.
I'm so sorry.
Turn around. Paul, that's the cyclorama. The audience is out there. Right, okay. Woo! So.
I'm so sorry.
To me, and to Stevie, and to Paul, and to everybody, Katie is sorry. I had no idea what his opening number would be. And I think Mike O'Mara said that the best part of a concert is the first 3 minutes because it's the opening number and the excitement and the build. And so what he did totally blew my mind because I found out in retrospect he hadn't sung this song until this tour since it was out in 1964. So it had been 50 some years.
Why are they killing me here?
So imagine you go, the crowd goes wild, the spotlight hits Paul. This will be the entire concert, but I want you to focus on the opening song because this chord filled the venue.
It's been a hard day's night. Save us now. I don't care too much for money. The money got money, love. Jazz! Temporary secretary. Let me roll it to you.
I've got a feeling I can't hide. Oh no,
my Valentine.
Picks up the rice in the church where a wedding has been.
For the benefit of Mr. Kite, there will be a show tonight on trampoline.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover.
Oh, Blattie, oh, Blattie.
So you're looking at about 38 songs, about 2 hours and 45 minutes. No breaks, no exits, just a small fake end before he came out and did Yesterday and the rest of it for his encore. I didn't cry as much as I thought I would. I was in crisis for much of the concert.
Thank God he didn't play Julia.
That was, oh my God.
They'd have to wheel you out.
I couldn't even. But it was staggering, and we must take a small break. But when we come back, I will entertain questions and tell you the moment that I literally burst out into tears. I am not proud of the fact that I went full-blown crisis in front of 20,000 people. Luckily, there was a Beatle on the stage, not many people looking at me. But I might have gotten a few looks.
Pretty good
set list.
Yes, I have questions. I was taking notes. Okay. And I didn't mean to sort of squeal there. I'm so sorry.
If you'd like a copy of the montage, it's fine. If you'd like a copy of the montage, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to Spiegel, Chicago, 60609. We will be back after this. That first segment was only 40 minutes, but are you ready for another hour?
No.
77 WABC. Another hour of music. Pow, pow, pow.
It's Cake and Cookies, where the hours are only 20 minutes.
You got some spots to play?
Yeah, gotta get them in. Gotta get them in before the top of the hour, or I'll have to do make goods. We don't want to do that.
I want to do a make good.
No. Hey, here's a guy who always makes good. Dude Walker.
He's cake. She's cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
Hold on, I just got a text. Or as Oscar would say, a hot text. I'm opening it. Oh my God.
Right?
Yes. You babysit Westie dogs.
Yes, they live right across the street. Their names are...
Yes.
Bentley and Chanel.
Which one is this?
I can't really see. You gotta scoot down a little bit. Okay, that's Pink Ears, so that's Chanel.
She's smiling.
She does. She's a sweetie.
She got a good smile. Anyway, this is segment two of
they
Cake
do this
and Cookies.
Thing. Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
So that picture, she's actually kind of up on her back legs, pawing at the air towards me.
Oh, so she's smart, too.
She's adorable.
Of course. Totes adorbs. Hey, that's not water.
Yes, it is.
Again, with the air quotes. It's... water.
Air bunnies.
I went out to make a difference today. I went to the liquor store and I bought myself a bottle of Crown Royal that has a handle.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's the big one.
Well, you know, it gets cheaper if you just do it that way.
You know, you would think, but I priced them out and the 0.75 and the liter, actually, the 0.75 is cheaper per ounce.
I wonder if that's because
you gotta check those labels.
More people buy that size.
You gotta watch those labels, baby. I read the label. Some people check for sugar. Some people check for salt, saturated fats. I check for how much the liquor costs per ounce. Read your labels, smart shopper.
It's savvy shopping.
Mm-hmm. And then there was a sign posted at the Virginia ABC store, or as I've had my kids calling it since they were very small, the Alphabet Store. Daddy's going to the Alphabet Store. Makes it sound much more fun. Almost educational. That they're going to no longer stock Bacardi 151 after what they have in stock is gone. And I asked I don't know. I asked the disinterested clerk. I said, why are they going to stop stocking Bacardi 151? He said, and I quote, "I don't know. I don't drink that crap."
Okay.
I said, well, if it doesn't affect you, I guess it doesn't affect anybody. So that's
it. Rob, just because it's in a koozie doesn't mean it's a beer.
Take it out of the koozie.
Busted.
What?
But I was drinking seltzer water.
Yes, you were.
Dan brought this into me, to be totally honest. The first sip was a surprise.
It matches your bubbly personality.
Oh, why, yes.
Who did this? I think that for the duration of this show and maybe for shows in the future, I'm going to say that catchphrase, but not explain where it comes from.
Oh, but that's the best part.
Maybe in the next show. In 3 months when we record again. We'll explain. Oh, when she says it, does she look up and to the left afterwards too? Almost like a Bill Cosby take?
She like looks up and like grins. Who did this?
Who did this?
It's the funniest thing ever.
Paul McCartney sang a song. Who did this? Well, anyway, so let me go ahead and put a button on this Paul McCartney thing. I saw you literally taking notes.
I did. So I have a few comments and questions.
I'm all ears.
Okay, so first of all, to start with that iconic chord of Hard Day's Night.
It was amazing. It just filled the room.
Like shivers down your spine.
It sounded like this. And it was amazing. It was. And you know what? I dissected it afterwards. Technically, that's a John song. He sang harmony on it, but John was the lead. But it was still really cool to hear it played. And I wouldn't have traded it. Just the fact that that's a song he co-wrote, what, 52 years ago. And he says, yeah, it's been on the radio pretty consistent for the last 52 years, but let's play it. Let's just play it. And that's again, yeah. And you know, I mean,
that's, but that first chord
is just amazing.
It hits you.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
So it was
so
amazing.
Then, let's see. These are the things that I slightly surprised by. Happily so, Jet.
Jet was great. So much fun.
Love that song.
I think he gives the impression that he enjoys singing it. He has so much fun with it when he's up there. I'll tell you what really surprised me.
Any song that has woo-woo-woo-woo-woos.
It's audience participation. This one
Give
really
me a sha-na-na-na-na, and I am so happy.
I'm there. I'm with you. This one really surprised me. When he was going through his sort of electronica phase with McCartney 2, and this is Temporary Secretary, almost a novelty record, but the thing that I loved about it is that when I was a few months ago playing McCartney 2 off vinyl, this song was on, and Julia came down to ask me something. And when you hear this, she looked at me and said, "Dad, what is that?" And I said, "It's one of Paul's, it's not on his A-list, but I thought it's catchy." And she said, "I like it." So the fact that she was vaguely familiar with the song going into the concert was very, very cool. And a huge surprise that he did it. So there's that.
I would say it kind of fits in with the music that she listens to now.
Yeah, it does. It was very much ahead of its time. It just was, I don't think, the best fit for him. But even if we jump ahead, he did
You know what? I wouldn't say that it wasn't the best fit for him. I would say that maybe it wasn't the best fit for some of his fans.
Yeah, you know what? Valid. Very valid. Because he did that song that he did with Rihanna. I'm checking it right now. It's called 4 or 5 Seconds. It's the song he collaborated with Rihanna and Kanye West with. And, of course, he's only done it live. This is the song as you would hear it on the radio.
I think I've had enough. I might get a little drunk.
And I'm no great Rihanna or Kanye fan, but to hear him sing it. But to hear him sing it.
And I like his music, though.
It was to hear Paul sing it that was a surprise and very cool. He's, you know, he had that album called New 2.5 years ago. And he played 3 songs from it, I think. And normally when they...
I love this song. I really do.
But normally when they say, well, we're going to play some songs off a new record, that's when everyone goes to get beer. But I like that album so much, I was glued to my seat, so I was okay with it. I mean, it was so consistently fun the whole way through. What else did you write down? I loved watching you take notes.
I was surprised. Let Me Roll It.
Yes, total
love
surprise.
That song.
And to play it so early in the show.
Yeah. Clearly, you know, I would expect Maybe I'm Amazed to be played.
But
I had to make a note of it.
It's my first dance with my wife.
We Can Work It Out is one of my favorite songs.
And another totally unexpected one. Did not see it coming at all.
I'm kind of surprised because it's not at the top of the heap.
No, it is. It's a little bit under the radar. Now, one that I should explain, this one, In Spite of All the Danger, he did perform it.
In spite of all the danger.
That was recorded when they were the Quarrymen.
Did he play it kind of like that?
Yes, it was very accurate to this record and this key.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was amazing. And he told a story about how they could only afford 1 acetate, and they shared it.
Oh!
He'd get it for a week. John would get it for a week. They had to share it. And then it was mysteriously gone for many years. And then it resurfaced. And now it's worth quite a bit of money. But they put it out on the, I guess, Beatles Anthology 1. But that was a neat surprise for him to do it. One thing.
Stop. I'm not done yet.
I'm sorry. We'll ping pong. But there's a moment I need to tell you about.
Well, let me go through my notes and
okay.
Then we'll discuss
all right.
More.
All right. I'm sorry.
They're very short. It's on the tiniest little
It's just little.
It's a teeny tiny Post-it. It's,
but wee and small. It looks like a pad of American cheese.
Yeah.
It's that color orange.
Look, Dan brought cheese.
And it sticks to the wall. Cheese Post-its.
But only on one side.
Dan, go and buy cheese Post-its. Who did that?
I think obviously he has to play Blackbird.
Yes, he does. And he tells a nice story about that. I won't spoil it for anyone who hasn't ever seen him do it. But it's
You can spoil it for me afterwards, right?
It's a very uplifting tale. It's nice.
Awesome. Okay, so kind of surprised because Fool on the Hill is not like the most uplifting but it's such a great song.
Nor is it timeless. I mean, it is, but it is definitely a product of its era. Mm-hmm. And I think of many Beatles songs, it has not aged particularly well. That doesn't take away from it. But to me, it definitely screams the year that it came out. I guess 1968, 7 or 8. And
it definitely is of that time.
Yeah, and it's really eerily wonderful to hear him sing it and sound the same way. That was an exciting moment.
Along the same lines of Eleanor Rigby, which yes. You know is one of my, like, I just lose my mind over that song.
And it was so well performed. He had him on guitar, the guy on keyboards approximating the string arrangement, and on the harmonies, his lead guitarist and his drummer would step up to microphones, do the harmonies, and then step back out. And so it was a very lean, sort of stripped down version of it that let the melody really carry. Awesome. Very awesome.
Well, that takes me to something. Was that a ukulele?
This I will jump in on. This is my...
I'm asking. This is the one real question I have.
It is. And this is what made me burst out into tears, because he tells the story that not a lot of you know this, but my mate George was quite a talented, and I think he says quite handy with the ukulele. And George used to travel with two ukuleles because he liked to play with other people, but no one would have a ukulele handy, right? So he'd travel with two. And
somewhat portable.
Yeah, it is. It's not like a harp. And so he... Probably, you know what?
I'd love to jam with you, but I'm a harpist.
A piano would have been such a better example than a harp.
The harp.
I'm an idiot. So he said one night he was sitting with George, and he said, they were jamming on the ukuleles as much as you can. And he says, I've learned one of your songs on the ukulele. I'd like to play it for you. And George said, okay. And so he did.
Something in the way she moves attracts me like no other lover.
Now, George is my favorite Beatle. And he did this lovely story leading up to this. And he starts to play this. And there is something about the tininess of that instrument in a hall of 20,000 people and just his voice above it that I feel myself start to well up with some tears. Because it's that sweet. And I want to keep it under control because my daughter's there and she's seen it before, but I don't want to make a
Polish. We all have.
I don't want to make a Polish spectacle of myself, okay? So I'm really digging it. And this is actually, this recording is from some years ago, but it's the same arrangement that he used.
Well, you're asking me, my love grows. I don't know.
So I'm keeping it in check. This
I
is
don't know how. I
probably would've... my favorite Beatles song, all told. And there's a great, you know, emotion behind it. But because it is being played on a ukulele, I'm keeping it in check, right? Then this. And I go, oh! And I'm getting them a little right now because you realize that this is at the very tail end of that collaboration of four musicians, and they're all allowed to shine on Abbey Road, and this is the culmination of an entire career of the band. And it's George's only A-side, and it's just, it's too much for me. And I've got spigots running down my cheeks. And so that's the moment I lost it. And it was that guitar solo that absolutely slayed me. Now, he does another tribute to John as well called Here Today, which is a song that he writes saying that what he would say to John if they had that one more conversation that they never got a chance. And he talks about there are many times that he reached for the phone and said, no. You know?
Yeah, I saw an interview.
It's tough to watch.
Yeah.
But it's good advice for anybody, but that something is the one that slayed me. That's the one that laid me out flat. So there you are. Thank you.
Golden Slumbers was where I
oh, well, he does that whole closing of Abbey Road.
I didn't mean to squeal, but I was like, you just kind of hope that that's how it's all going to end.
Yeah.
Is with the end.
Yeah. And it was unreal. It is, you know, I know that he'll keep touring as long as he can walk, because there's no reason for him. He doesn't need the money. He doesn't need to prove anything. I think he enjoys it. If you have the opportunity, go do it. It's as much as we talked about how wonderful seeing Stevie was, to see Paul McCartney approaches otherworldly. I don't want to overstate it, but he's been a valid chart presence for over 50 years. And to see that stuff happen right in front of you is mind-boggling. I'll just say that.
I'm not sure I could handle it to be...
Oh, it's the best, though. It's the best misery you'd ever have.
Okay.
Did you have any other notes?
No, but I have a question.
Shoot.
What was Julia's reaction at various points? I want to know what it was like for her.
What I love the most is occasionally Instagramming moments of songs that she liked, because that's a teenager doing a thumbs up. She was so into it. She was into the presentation of lasers and fireworks and stuff, used sparingly, but effectively. They did, when he did Being for the Benefit of Mr. Kite, it was like going on an acid trip. There were shelves of light going through my body. And then when he did Live and Let Die, and there's real fireworks and virtual fireworks and lasers filling the arena. It is, and the sound, of course, just excellent. He was in great voice. She had a great time. And as Robert did when he went. But again, I think the true value of it is not that night. I think the true value of it is 10 and 20 years from now.
Yeah, you gave her something beautiful.
I hope so. I hope so. And I kind of saw that. I had an amazing discovery this week. The first time I saw Paul was, and I will draw, I promise folks, I'll wind this up, but I need to get it off my chest. The first time I saw him was July 4th, and I only remember it because it was July 4th, 1990. And I went looking for the set list online. And you know, they have those websites where you can find set lists. And I found it. And I said, I don't recall him doing this or this or this, because there was a live album made of the tour. And that's kind of
was
how...
Was that Tripping the Live Fantastic?
Exactly. And that's kind of how I remembered the concert, because once he did the show, I got the album, listened to the album, and that sort of becomes your memory of the set.
Mm-hmm.
Well, a couple clicks, and I find on YouTube a soundboard recording of that show that I was at. And I started listening to it and remembering things that I heard 25 years ago, and then comparing it to the set list and saying, I didn't remember he did Let Him In. I didn't remember that he did Can't Buy Me Love. And to sort of resort the entire evening in my head and hear it again is an amazing thing. So the fact that I have Julia's set list right here, and I have the program for her, I hope that 25 years hence, she looks back and says, that's pretty awesome because I was there. That's what
she
I
will.
Hope. I hope so. And
she probably does now to be.
Yeah.
She gets it. She gets it.
She's smart enough to get it, but she's also teenager enough not to sell it. She's also teenager enough not to say it. Right.
No. That's not happening.
Two minor crisis moments. One was because, again, hasn't performed this since it was a hit. Nearly fell out of my seat when he went into Love Me Do. That was pretty incredible. But maybe the best part of the evening for me as a fan was when he went into this song and simultaneously 20,000 people all went, "Aww." You could hear it in the auditorium. Everyone just goes, "Aww."
I mean, that was my reaction.
It was pretty amazing. So anyway, that's the Paul McCartney Show. If you get a chance, go and see him. He's very good. He was in a band called the Beatles. And as I wrote on Facebook, going to see Paul McCartney tonight. Hope he sings that song I like. We're gonna step away. Paul will take us to spots. And when we come back, we're going to hear about Katie's trip to the beach, because frankly, I'm tired of talking. It's Cake and Cookies, and we're back after this. So at this wedding, there's no unity candle. Instead, they're going to combine rum and Coke as a symbol of their love?
Yes, it's very Savannah. And Dan is the officiant.
So Dan is going to be the sort of the MC of the affair.
The master of ceremonies.
That's my Dan.
They said he could wear an Elvis jumpsuit.
True or false? You're upset that since you've moved to Savannah, Dan is the funny one.
That's true. People here think he's just hilarious.
Why? He doesn't even talk.
He does here. I don't know what's happened. He's really blossomed.
I think it's the humidity. Tune in and watch Dan blossom.
You know he has lost 3 pairs of flip-flops this summer.
How?
He goes places and he'll have a couple drinks, then we walk home and he doesn't have his shoes on anymore.
He's kind of like Cinderella.
Yes.
But not.
But with flip-flops.
Cinderella Flip-Flop, that would be a good rapper's name. I'd love to rap with you tonight, but Katie, I'm sorry, I don't have my harp.
Cake and Cookies,
the
podcast that has nothing to do with cake or cookies. It's Rob and Katie.
I left my harp in the car. Can't.
Very big car.
It's a station wagon.
At least.
Who did this? It is the third segment. We're not taking your questions this week. We're not putting that on hiatus. Questions will come back. We will have...
We have too much to discuss.
We have much to discuss. I just spent an hour and a half talking about a concert that happened last year. So we will have your questions on the next episode. But because we have no questions, I have to figure out a clever way to get out of this music. I suggest the popcorn shotgun.
WABC.
Smooth.
Not popcorn shotgun. It should have been dude.
We already played dude.
Oh.
You're drinking.
I've had half of a beer that I thought was seltzer water. I really wanted seltzer water. I didn't want a beer.
When did you figure out it wasn't a beer?
The first sip.
Oh, it was a beer.
It is. Yes. I thought he brought me a seltzer because it's in a koozie.
And no one ever puts a beer.
This isn't lime.
Wait a second. This isn't kosher for Passover.
It's the worst thing is if you take a bite or a sip of something.
Well, yeah, but the koozie.
Not what,
The seltzer, does it come in a can?
Yes.
Okay, because before you're drinking.
You want me to go get one and show you?
No. Okay. Before you were talking about it, you showed it in a bottle.
What?
When you were drinking seltzer at the beginning of the program, it was in a blue bottle.
This is a glass.
Oh, I thought it was a bottle.
A glass.
What's it made of?
Glass.
I'm beginning to see a trend. That was also the name of Jan Brady's, it was a bottle.
It is.
It's blue. No,
it's very. It is like a cobalt blue glass.
And Jan Brady's imaginary boyfriend was named George Glass. Because she saw glass. Yeah. All right. So you went to the beach.
Mm-hmm. And I did. The neighborhood ladies all went to the beach again. This is a different beach, a different beach house.
Same ocean.
Same ocean.
The Atlantic.
Thing is, it's been so, it's sort of heat wave hot here this summer.
Yeah.
The water was like bath water.
See, that is good, but sometimes if you start to think about warm ocean water, it's kind of, it can be a little gross.
Creepy?
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Creepy crawly?
Like number one. Ugh.
Ooh. Yeah, no, right? Ooh. Oh, my mind didn't even go there, Rob.
Well,
ew.
Well, I mean, that's when I think of warm water.
Gross.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry.
So I went down, same group of ladies, one or two different people. So much fun. Absolutely had a stellar time. We went down Thursday evening.
Okay.
Friday around noon, we decided to go to the beach. And then we went for a really, really long walk. The heat index was about 107, I know, because I looked it up.
Oh, that's too hot.
So I talked, a couple of the girls wanted to keep walking.
Yes.
We were on like a little island, so you could essentially go around the whole thing. But I talked to one
of the... Wouldn't that be many miles?
Pretty tiny island. Yes.
Because I think anytime the word mile is pluralized, count me out.
They're very fit.
Okay.
So I talked one of the women to walk back with me because I kind of didn't... I started not feeling so good.
So this is Friday after Thursday. Thursday night, did you imbibe?
I did.
Good.
But I felt fine on Friday.
Okay.
I drank a whole lot of water Thursday night because I knew, like, a beach day, it's going to be hot.
Yeah.
So I was careful on Thursday. But I'm not so good with the heat. That's the only thing that makes me question our move to Savannah.
Yeah. You know what? I've had that thought myself. When for example, when we went to Savannah and visited you guys for New Year's. And at home, it was like, around here, it was like, you know, 10 degrees and icy. And down there, it's like 68 and perfect. That's great.
It was, when you all were here, it was more like 50.
No, it couldn't because we actually went and put our feet in the ocean.
Right. It was unseasonably warm on that one day.
Okay. So we had a couple nice days. Or
yes,
a day. But I can deal with that.
The Spiwaks. The Spiwaks brought,
we took a Spiwak, yeah.
Weather.
But the thing that I do not dig is when we visited you in August, and while it was a legendary, wonderful trip, it was 200 degrees outside.
Yeah, and you guys were... So a little background. I was informed by the people that have lived here forever.
Yes.
Of their lives. That this summer is like the hottest we've had in 10 years.
Hey, that's terrific. Thanks,
yeah.
Babe.
Look
at the thermometer. Who
better.
Did this?
Who did this?
It's so hot. Who did this?
Right. So we walked back. I had, we had like a couple coolers with us.
Yeah.
So I chugged a bottle of cold water and I was holding like the ice packs against my neck.
That's...
I was really overheated.
Like, that's what they do when people are in the throes of death.
I was really overheated.
Sounds like it.
And I knew that things were going to take a turn. Now, here's the other thing. I was really proud of myself because I wore my swimsuit. And I didn't, like, the time before, I was just so self-conscious. I didn't know them or anything.
Right.
Well, on the walk, I was walking.
Yeah.
In my swimsuit.
That's
this
great.
This is for all the women out there and probably some men along the lines of taking off your shirt.
Are you hinting at something? Because this is staying on, sister.
Wow. Not even, my mind didn't even come close to traveling down that road.
I know what you want. I know what they all want. I'm more than a sex object, you know.
You're more than a pretty face, Rob.
Exactly. Thank you.
So I kind of had that sort of nervousness I guess.
Because you're in the throes of this could be bad very soon?
Well, no. I mean, A, I'm in my little tankini.
Okay, so you're not at a comfort level.
No, I'm a very anxious person.
Sure. Anxiety.
Just about everything. I'm very self-conscious about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And although I do feel I know these women pretty well now, I don't know the other people at the beach.
That's right. They sold some tickets to some newcomers, and you're not putting on a show.
Right.
Right.
So I'm a little anxious. Then we get back, and I don't even think about that anymore. I'm just like, oh, my God, I think I'm going to throw up.
Good way to distract them from looking at your bathing suit.
Right, exactly. Who did this?
Who did this?
Right. So I was like, all right, are you okay? I really think that I'm completely overheated.
Right.
Are you okay if I just grab an Uber back to the cottage?
This is what you said to the lady you were walking with back.
Yeah, this is a woman that lives right across the street. She's okay. Like, are you okay? Do you want me to come with you? And I was like, no, nope. I just want to get back, cold shower, cool down.
Sure. Get your core temperature down.
So I do the Uber. Jerry came and scooped me right up, and the whole time, the whole like 4-minute ride, I'm thinking, okay.
His name was Jerry.
I sit in the back seat and I'm thinking, do you think the windows roll all the way down?
Oh God, you're that close?
That I was that close.
And then Jerry said, are you feeling okay, lady?
Like, it's just a little hot for me out there. And he goes, oh, I don't leave the AC when it's this hot. And I was like, I can tell.
Yeah. Jerry, a big guy?
Pale.
He's a basement dweller.
Yes.
From the Order Spiwak.
Jerry was pale.
Yes. Pale Jerry. Hey, that's his name. You saw his Uber card. Jerry Pale.
Right. So Jerry drops me off at the cottage, and I realize I don't know the key code.
Oh, no.
So I'm at this point, I'm at the threshold, not just of the cottage.
but of vomit.
Right. And I don't think I did myself any favors by chugging the bottle of water.
No, you need to sip.
Yes.
Or as they say down there, sip. Sip some of this.
So I text, and I'm just thinking, dear God, please let someone text me back. So I text immediately. The code is sent. I get inside. I get to the bathroom, and I... All that water. Bloop.
She's gone.
What did you have to eat?
I think I had some, like, melon. I had some fruit for breakfast.
How festive.
What?
How festive.
The toilet. Well, no, we had all this food.
The toilet probably looked like a Hawaiian shirt.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, that's actually pretty accurate as well.
Thank you. I've been in that scene before.
Yeah. Watermelon.
I tend to throw up more expensive foods. Yeah. I had a few nights in New York.
I think it was a seedless watermelon as well.
Well, if seeds came out, that would be problems.
Ugh, no.
I had a few big nights in New York where
I'm not done.
I know. I'm just going to say I'd rather throw up watermelon than lobster.
Oh, yeah.
I've had a few nights in New York that I've flushed food that I can't afford anymore. And I remember holding my forehead and saying, God, did I even chew it? You idiot. All right, so you return the watermelon to Mother Earth.
Yes, I do. So then I decide a cold shower.
Good idea.
Yeah. And not even cold, just cool. Because at this point, I realized...
you don't want to shock the system. The worst thing you can do is shock the system. So you just want to bring your core temperature down.
My face is like that sort of purple red when you're too hot, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Like the way I've looked since 1982?
Yes, that one. Yeah. That would be the look. And I'm in the shower, turn off the shower, and I was like...
By the way, you're welcome, Steve Marmelstein. She's in the shower.
Oh, no, not again.
No!
Yes.
Why?
So I go, like, flip on the ceiling fan in the bedroom that I shared with the other Katie.
Yeah?
Two of us. Little Katie's sharing a room. It's real cute.
Only one throws up twice.
Flip on the fan and just, I'm like trying to just cool off.
But to be clear, you did throw up again.
I did.
Okay, just to be clear.
I went back to the I was like, I think maybe I just need to try this again. Just do it again. Just get everything.
The toxins.
Just get everything out. And then I took another cold shower.
Well, because, you know, hygiene is paramount. Sweat,
right. To throw up sweats and everything. And that, on that first day at the beach cottage, is when I decided I was not returning to the beach.
I think that's a wise decision.
And I didn't care if people thought that I was lame for not going to the beach.
You're everything but lame.
I would have been more lame had I gone back to the beach.
Yeah, yeah. You need to reserve whatever energy you've got, or preserve it anyway.
So that was Friday. Friday night, a bunch more of the women came and joined us. They got off work and drove. It was only about an hour away.
Oh, that's nice. Okay.
Yeah. Easy peasy drive. And then Saturday, everyone gets up, gets ready, goes to the beach. And I was like, yeah, guys, no.
Really?
No,
still?
Bad yesterday. I'm just not. No. So because Friday night, I don't want to say that we all kind of went on a bender.
Sure.
But the house was kind of toe up from the flow up. And I was more than happy to be there. You have to understand as well, I am never alone. Dan and I both work from home.
That's true.
Like, I'm never alone.
No.
So I was like, oh, this is great. So I kind of cleaned up a bit. I was drinking beer. I had music playing. I was just having myself a big old time.
The party of one.
Yeah. And I had taken some tomatoes and cucumbers.
And you said, these will be good to throw up later.
No, and I cut them up and I had vinegar, made a little salad. A
wonderful salad.
Absolutely. Everyone came back from the beach and they were like, this is the perfect, like, fresh thing that we need. And I was like, I know, I'm a rock star. I might have been tipsy by the time they got back.
I don't know. When you declare that you're a rock star, probably you're sober.
Oh, absolutely.
100%. Here, come drive this Lamborghini because your blood alcohol content is 0.00. Zoom! Well,
the title of the shit has already been taken. You're going to have to bleep that out.
Yeah, I guess I will.
Sorry. The neighbor across the street who made barbecue and chicken salad and a whole bunch of food to take down, she proclaimed herself
to be that word.
Yes.
You know
She's
what?
Like, I've been suspicious of this for a very long time.
If someone brought me barbecue, I'd probably call them that as well. I'd say, God bless you.
She was fantastic, fantastic cook. Like, we ate like queens.
So Saturday, you didn't go to the beach either. What about Sunday?
Sunday, we got up pretty early and all started kind of cleaning up the house. And
gotta do
it. I was home by like 12:30.
So you just went to the beach long enough to get sun poisoning and vomit.
I had a lovely time with the exception of
never said you didn't have a good time. I'm just trying to chronicle your beach time.
I mean, that's not the part that.
That's not.
Don't make this something it wasn't, Rob.
That's not the takeaway.
No.
Okay. You had a lovely time. Will you go back again before the season is out?
I don't know. You know what?
Fall at the beach is wonderful. Wonderful fall at the beach. And by the way, I'm talking about the season, not the act. Don't fall at the beach. Mm-hmm. Just, you know, autumn. Beautiful. Falling leaves.
I would. The thing, the schools have been in session like 2 weeks here.
Why are they sending the kids to school so soon?
I really don't know. I know they get out earlier, and I know that they have like a long winter break.
Yeah.
But the kids are already back in school.
That's not okay.
So
our kids
I
have another week
that,
still, I think.
I don't know that there'll be any more beach trips.
But if there is, are you comfortable in
knowing? I'm in. I'm not.
And you feel they would tell you about them?
How dare you?
We look forward to it. Maybe you could do something over Christmas.
I'm delightful, Rob Spiewak.
Yes, but you're not the
No, I'm not.
I'm sorry. You're just not. Well, this show was easy as falling off a log. We'll do another one in November.
3 years.
Exactly. Now, we'll be back sooner than you know, folks. Thank you for your patience. And again, if you need an explanation as to where we've been, I invite you to check out segment one. Moments of listening pleasure await you. Next time, I'll talk about my heat stroke story.
Is it at the amusement park?
Yeah, Daddy might have overdone it, and I can't tell if it has to do with the extraordinary heat or the fact that I'm old, but I had a hard time getting in the car because my legs didn't bend.
I cannot wait to hear about that. I'm making notes.
Katie, it was a whole thing. I couldn't even.
It was a whole thing.
It was a whole thing, and I looked at myself. I said, who did this? All I know is I will say this. After we finally got on the road, after about 90 minutes in the car.
I'm taking it you weren't the one driving.
Oh, I was. Once the legs worked, it was fine. But about 90 minutes into the drive, Carrie's in her phone and the kids are in the back fighting. And I said, hey, just want you to know, I'm feeling better. Thanks for asking.
I'm sure they were concerned.
They said, who's that guy driving? We'll do this again real soon. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Oscar. Thank you, Tony. Boom, boom, bloom. Katie, thank you, dear.
Thank you, Robbie.
We will be back again soon. And until then, don't you go changing. So long.
Portions not affecting the outcome of today's game may have been edited prior to today's broadcast. Cake and Cookies, The Rob and Katie Show. This is Dude Walker speaking.
But my lips hurt real bad.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
'I will wear a hat, but my head is peeling.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. And I shaved it today to expedite the peeling, because if there's like sporadic sprigs of hair, it holds it in.
The like head, with a razor you shaved it?
Sure. You know what else? If you cut your head shaving too, tell me if I get too gross. When it scabs and the hairs grow through the scab,
oh,
it makes it impossible for it to fall off because it's like 1,000 little fingers holding it in from the inside. So you must stay ahead of it. Get it? Ahead?
I get it. I don't have anything
to compare.
No, I don't. I don't even have hair on my arms.
Neither do I after I had a grilling accident. One time, I was...
Was there a frog involved?
No, this is much longer ago. I was lighting the grill at my grandparents' house. It was a Weber kettle grill. A red one. Beautiful.
And, those are fantastic.
Yes, and we had the charcoal briquettes. And we had no starter fluid. So I went to my grandmother and I said...
You know, there are briquettes now that have it in the briquettes.
But this is so long ago, we didn't have that option.
We had to make our own charcoal.
I think that maybe... Maybe Carter was president. It could have been that long ago. Or the first term of Reagan's administration. In any case, I went to my grandmother, who, by the way, didn't do a lot of grilling. She wasn't what I would call outdoorsy. And I said, I don't have any starter fluid for the charcoal. And she said, well, I have this. And she handed me a tin of Ronson lighter fluid that you use to fill like Zippo lighters with.
Oh.
And it is flammable, like starter fluid, but it's also, I believe, twice as pure as gasoline. So by the time I got the coals soaked, and I struck a match and got it into the region of the grill. I mean, really, yeah, I heard foomph. And if you're following along at home, that's F-O-O-O-M-P-H, exclamation point, foomph. And I looked, and the coals were burning, but also I had about 17,000 little fires on my arm because each arm hair was burning. Mm-hmm. And I patted them out. Then you get that smell. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's maybe the worst smell.
Smell of burning hair is awful. And ask any girl that grew up in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And also, you know what? It's reminiscent of that smell we've discussed in the past, the smell of perm.
Oh, God. Yeah. Because you've got the...
Yeah, the chemicals and stuff. So I went into my grandmother, and I brought her back the lighter fluid. The can was significantly lighter because I'd used so much of it. It was lighter fluid.
I get it.
And I handed it back to her, and she said, "How'd it go? Wait, what's that smell?"